The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Hi, this is Attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting
www.myinjuryli.com.
Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting
www.myinjuryli.com.
For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting
www.myinjuryli.com
or call 631-654-4900. That's
www.myinjuryli.com
or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Well, hi, everyone. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. Welcome back to our program from No Fault of Your Own. Glad to be here and explore those issues in personal injury and the current issues and issues that most affect people who are hurt as a result of someone's negligence. It's our goal, as you know, to give an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with various types of personal injury actions caused by the negligence of some other party. And among these areas, we've explored and will continue to explore car accidents, trip and falls, slip and falls, medical malpractice, construction accidents, nursing home neglect, products liability, and the serious injuries that often occur in these settings. So through our journey together, hopefully we can remove some of the mystery and the uncertainty and help you feel both empowered, knowledgeable, and confident in this process. And we're also hoping that we have and will continue to have some fun on the program as we do explore these very important and serious issues. Now, we're here live today in the studio, so if you have any questions, please call into the studio right now at 631-451-1039 or at any time during the program about any questions you may have concerning personal injury that has occurred to yourself, a loved one, a friend, from someone's negligence. We'd love to be able to answer those questions and try to help you. On our last program, we discussed the issues of potential liens on your personal injury recovery. Now, a lien, again, is a right of a third person, a third party, to be paid from your net recovery, which is a personal injury which is in a personal injury case, usually from your two-thirds of the ultimate recovery. Now, the personal injury attorney has no choice to pay a valid lien or risks him or herself being held to have to pay it from his or own pocket. And no one ever wants to do that. No one wants to pay someone else's responsibility or bill. So the attorney needs to get it right. And needs to get it right for yourself also, because we don't want you left with liens after our case is resolved or in somehow impacting possibly your Medicare or your Medicaid or your insurance. Now, we discussed liens that Medicare and Medicaid will have if they pay for medical services and treatment if related to the injuries you suffer from someone else's negligence and if you have a claim or a lawsuit for those same injuries. We also have discussed on the program previously liens related to injuries you suffer while in the course of your employment as a result of someone's negligence. Now, this can happen in a car accident setting, a construction site accident, slip and trip and falls, or really many other scenarios. These must be considered, they have to be dealt with, and possibly negotiated by a good personal injury attorney to ensure that you can get the highest amount of dollars in your pocket. Now, failure to do so can affect future workers' compensation benefits, both for your wages and or your medical bills. While we're on this topic of workers' compensation and work-related injuries, it's important that you know that if you're injured while working in general in New York State, you cannot bring any type of lawsuit against your employer. You're limited to recovering from your employer's workers' compensation insurance, which provides benefits for both wages and medicals. And this is whether or not your employer was negligent in causing those injuries. So even if they are negligent, you cannot recover against your employer for negligence. Now, this means that a lawsuit might not be able to be brought against your employer for your pain and suffering, but and economic loss. But you are actually not totally limited under certain circumstances. You can actually bring a claim, potentially, against a third party. So there are many times when a person is in the course of their employment and their injuries are as a result of a third party other than your employee's negligence. And when we say third party, we're talking about, again, someone who's not yourself, but somebody who is another party other than your employer. Now, this happens in the context of many different scenarios. It happens when a person is working on a construction site sometimes and is injured as a result of the negligence of someone working for another party, maybe a subcontractor other than your employer. It's important that you call and speak to an experienced personal injury attorney to evaluate whether there may be, in addition to workers' compensation benefits that you can claim, a separate third-party action for negligence. Now, sometimes it's obvious that there is someone else and another party, and sometimes it's not. The advantage of filing a third-party action, though, is that you can recover for conscious pain and suffering, whereas you can't recover for pain and suffering under a workers' compensation policy. Now, if you're just joining us, this is Ken Auerbach. We're on our program From No Fault of Your Own, where we explore the most important issues in personal injury caused by accidents. We're live if you want to call into the show with any questions at 631-451-1039. And, of course, if you or someone you know or care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact me at myinjuryli.com. That's www.myinjuryli.com. You can call me at 631-654-4900 or Google me, Ken Auerbach, K-E-N-A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H. Would love to help you fight for justice and to get you to the place where you get a fair recovery. Now, in addition, as I said earlier, to the claim under workers' comp, you are limited under workers' comp for a certain amount of wages because they have a schedule. Not so in a third-party case. All of this really has to be carefully evaluated and requires an experienced personal injury attorney to ask you questions to determine your options. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't get workers' comp if you're injured on the job by a third party, but rather that you'll be able to have possibly an additional source of recovery in this third-party action to recover against the third party who was also responsible for your injuries, but at the same time be able to make that workers' compensation claim. I would love to speak to you if you are unfortunately hurt on the job and will carefully assess those rights and your options. Now, even if you receive workers' compensation and there's a lien against your third-party case, there may very well be a large amount of dollars that you'll still recover after the lien is paid. Work-related injuries don't only happen on construction sites, but in many other places and ways. You may operate a vehicle as part of your job and unfortunately are in a serious accident. It may happen while you're walking down a parking lot that belongs to someone else other than your employer. As part of your job, it could be I've had them where people are walking in homes and there's oil on the floor in the basement and someone gets seriously hurt. I've had them where people are walking on areas where they're servicing someone's boiler, heating system, and there's tremendous amounts of ice on the outside and person takes a terrible fall. I've represented many people, postmen, delivery men, repair people, home servicing workers who have fallen on ice, hurt themselves as a result of other things that were left on the property, poor lighting, a defective handrail, large defects in driveways, and so on that have been really seriously injured these people and had a viable third-party case. I've had people unfortunately attacked by vicious dogs while dutifully performing their job. An owner has a duty to keep their property in a reasonably safe condition for those who come upon it. And unfortunately, there are owners, and many of them, of commercial or residential properties that fail to do this, and some innocent parties hurt. That's where a personal injury lawyer who is experienced can help. That's where I hope that you'll give me a chance, give my firm a chance, pick up the phone, call us, we'll talk to you. We'd love to help you in that situation and get you justice. Now, we're coming up on our commercial break. I'm really excited today. We have Dr. Frank Segreto is a preeminent orthopedic surgeon, and he's going to talk about traumas and injuries and things that you really need to know about in our attempt to get you justice, to get you well, and to fight for the rights that will surely affect you potentially for the rest of your life. So we'll see you on the other side as we continue in our journey in personal injury and trauma and negligence. Welcome back to our program. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. You're on our program from No Fault of Your Own as we explore the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents and someone's negligence. We are live. You can give us a call if you'd like to ask us a question concerning anything to do with a pending personal injury matter you might have or something you think you may have or should have. Number here is 631-451-1039. You could always reach me to discuss anything concerning an accident, personal injury that you may have suffered or someone else close to you at 631-654-4900. Get us on the web at www.myinjuryli.com or Google me, Ken Auerbach. It's K-E-N-A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H. I'd be privileged to fight to get you justice and take the time to find out exactly what your issue is and how I can help you. Now, let's get back to some potential liens against your personal injury recovery. In addition to Medicare and Medicaid and workers' compensation, you may have a private medical policy. And the private medical company may claim a lien or what they call a subrogation claim, which is similar to a lien but not identical, against your recovery. And whether they're entitled to it or not, it depends on the situation. Whether they're entitled to have a lien or a subrogation claim really depends on the type of policy you have, the language in the policy within your insurance agreement, and whether the medical services they paid for are actually relate to the injuries you are claiming in the negligence action. I do not just assume that a private medical carrier is owed the money back from your recovery because they say so. I make sure to get a copy of the full health insurance policy, see if there is a specific clause or language in there providing for it. I also require the insurance company to give me a printout of what they allege to have paid, which is called an explanation of benefits, or you might have heard that called an EOB, to see if all their services relate to my client's injuries from the case of their negligence matter. Recently, I was actually able to get an insurance company to reduce their claim lien or subrogation claim by approximately $100,000. Now, that money was an additional $100,000 in my client's pocket on top of several hundreds of thousands of dollars they received for their pain and suffering. Now, in New York, actually, there is an anti-subrogation statute which was actually designed to stop all of these private insurance companies from taking money out of an injured party's personal injury settlement who they insured medically. Now, the law had very good intentions, but oftentimes doesn't apply if the health insurance benefit is covered by something known as ERISA, which is a federal law regarding benefits paid by your employer. Now, the average person will not be able to assess this. You need an experienced, capable personal injury attorney to look at it, make an assessment as to whether or not they have a valid lien or a valid subrogation claim, and would love to help you get through this, check on your rights, fight for every penny that you have coming to you. Insurance companies have a way to make sure that they collect what they should collect and sometimes what they shouldn't collect. My job here is to make sure they only get what they are entitled to. My job is to make sure that the little guy in this case versus the insurance company is not taken advantage of. Now, in our desire to continue to educate and empower you with knowledge, to pursue and best proceed with that good medical care and guidance when you're injured from someone else's negligence. We are so fortunate to have on our program some great, great medical providers. And today, we have Dr. Frank Segreto, a preeminent orthopedic surgeon. I have had the privilege of working with Dr. Segreto regarding people who have been seriously injured from all different types of trauma. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Segreto, for taking the time to come on and educate our listeners and tell them what their injuries can mean, what it means, and how do you treat for those injuries. And we're just really glad to have you on here because a lot of times this just becomes a mystery. So welcome onto our program, Dr. Segreto.
Well, Ken, thanks for having me on.
Okay. And Dr. Segreto, if you don't mind, I'd just like to know a little bit about yourself, if you can tell our listeners how you came to be an orthopedic surgeon.
All right. I guess it goes way back. I grew up in Brooklyn, the streets of Brooklyn. We played every sport imaginable. And so I guess we suffered every injury imaginable. And also I found that I had a unique interest in science. That was the early days of the space program. I'd get up at 4 in the morning, which I don't do anymore, to watch a space a rocket take off with the original astronauts in it. So I obviously was science-oriented, and I love sports.
So you were good. You were actually good in math and science, and we lawyers always joke around, particularly about math, and we say the reason we became lawyers is we weren't good in math.
Well, that's for sure, and I'm certainly not good in law. One of the things I said, if I had to do over, it'd take some additional law courses. I think everyone would benefit by it, but especially myself. So anyway, I didn't actually make the decision to become a doctor until my first year in college. I always looked at doctors with, as being very special people. I thought it was a very noble thing to do, but I always felt I was a little squeamish. However, when I got to college, I was a little more mature, and I said, you know what, squeamishness, come on, that you could overcome that. And it also was the hardest thing to do. And someone like myself always chooses a hard thing to do. And so I decided to try to get into medical school. And I worked very hard toward that, and I did. Also, I have some empathy about some significant injuries because summer before starting medical school, friends and myself were in the Hamptons having a little fun, and we decided that the Olympics were on at that time of the year, so we decided we'd have our own little Olympics on the beach. So we put up a beach chair as a hurdle, and I went and ran and jumped over the beach chair and didn't quite make it. I knocked down the beach chair, and I landed on the beach, and I suddenly felt a searing, burning, severe pain in my left leg, and I felt I couldn't move. I couldn't move. Here is a big, strong guy, and I couldn't move. And my thigh was floppy, and I couldn't move. So eventually an ambulance came, and they put me on the stretcher. And when they moved me, evidently the ends of the bone rubbed against each other. And that was the first time I really experienced severe bone pain, which we call exquisite, the pain. And I wound up having a rod put in the femur, and that went well. I was in the hospital for 17 days back then. Thank God I didn't die of a blood clot laying in a bed. Unfortunately, we didn't know that much back then about such things, but I survived that. I had the rod removed a year later.
Did you give up your plans of creating new Olympics as a result of that?
I think I would definitely have modified it and realized I wasn't a good jumper to begin with. So, but I don't think any friends did it again. But anyway, so as it went on then... I started medical school shortly thereafter. I think it gave me a little more empathy. And during medical school, one of the first things you do is anatomy, where you dissect a cadaver with a group of other students. And I became the leader of you'd be like six students to each cadaver. And it was clear that I became sort of the leader in that. I got honors in anatomy.
So you got over that squeamishness, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, you know, it's silly. That's silly. You know, something that's silly, you have to overcome. So you know, clearly there are certain people who become internists, certain people who become surgeons, and there's a surgeon type, and that's obviously me, and that's what I became, and that's what I've been doing. And obviously, sports medicine then became a very, very popular field to be in, very sought after, and I started out doing mostly sports medicine. I trained with some of the people who did arthroscopies. I also trained at Stony Brook to get my orthopedic training, and Dr. D, the head of the department there, was one of the first individuals to train with Dr. Charnley in England, who was the first to do hip replacements. And so I learned from some very prominent people.
Well, this is very interesting, and really so glad that we're going to have you on for two more segments on our program. I'm going to tell you a funny story about a brain surgeon that I know concerning why he could not be an orthopedic surgeon because he didn't like blood. And I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But I'll tell you about that on the other side. I'm so glad that we have Dr. Segreto here. And this is really just our privilege. So we'll see you on the other side. Hi, this is attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting
www.myinjuryli.com.
Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting
www.myinjuryli.com.
For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting
www.myinjuryli.com
or call 631-654-4900. That's
www.myinjuryli.com
or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Well, welcome back to our program from No Fault of Your Own. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. We have Dr. Segreto here, who's one of the preeminent orthopedic surgeons here in Long Island. And he's done some amazing things for people to essentially put them back together. So glad that he's here with us. Doc, the last thing I was saying to you was I had a friend of mine who was a brain surgeon, and we were having this discussion. I think it was actually at a Christmas party, and I was telling him about a client who had a really serious accident from a construction site, was hit by a piece of steel, and a lot of blood involved, obviously, and he actually, I think, had two-fifths of his foot actually had to be amputated ultimately, and which was a sad thing. But as I'm explaining this to this doctor, I'm telling him about it, and he's making this face like, you know, the face that somebody makes when something stinks in the room. And he's scrunching his face up, and I'm saying to him, Doc, what is the problem? He says, I don't like blood and I don't like skin. And kind of surprised me. I'm thinking you're a brain surgeon. But apparently there's not, and I know that there's not a lot of blood actually when people do brain surgeries.
Yeah, that's the case with neurosurgery, so it doesn't surprise me. I don't think I've ever recalled scrubbing in on a brain surgery case, but I've done numerous spine surgery cases over my training over the years. And one of the things the neurosurgeons have to do is they have to stop bleeding, because if you don't, you close up a wound, you're going to get a hematoma, which is going to cause pressure on nerves or the brain within the brain itself. So they are meticulous at stopping bleeding. And that's what most of the time in neurosurgery is about, is just stopping all these tiny little bleeders in the brain or around the spinal cord so that you could get a great result.
So let me ask you this now. So you told us a little bit about your career. I do know also, I believe that you were involved with many of the sports teams here in the high schools and also college teams. I think Division I. Helping people get better. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, let me tell you how that sort of started. When I graduated medical school from Downstate Medical Center, I did my internship in Staten Island University Hospital, a surgical internship, and it just so happened that one of the orthopedic surgeons there. His brother was the Yankees team doctor. There was another orthopedic surgeon who had done a fellowship with one of the first doctors doing anterior cruciate ligament reconstructions, who actually died on going up. The doctor that he trained under was killed in an airplane crash going up to the Olympics.
Wow.
And he was a famous doctor. So that protege of that physician, surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, was at Staten Island University Hospital. And I did got my first experience with knee arthroscopies, shoulder arthroscopies, anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction. So it's fair to say that I could say that I possibly have more experience with doing arthroscopies than almost anybody else around.
Could you explain to our listeners what an arthroscopy is and what kind of surgery that is?
Well, arthroscopy is when you arthro means joint. Scope is a scope, like you would think. It's basically moving ahead in surgery just to perform procedures with just putting a little scope inside of a joint and then through another hole doing the operation. And it revolutionized surgery. I haven't done an open shoulder surgery now in years. I do mostly knees and shoulders now at this point. And we do them simply. We do them in a knee is usually about 20 minutes, a shoulder is about 40 minutes, and we accomplish everything. Actually, and more, we found things to repair that we weren't aware of before, especially in shoulders. So we do these things under blocks or local anesthetic with sedation. I've spoken with patients while I was operating on their shoulders. It's just a tremendous advance that we've done.
So, kind of following that up, what types of medical problems over the years have you treated people for as an orthopedic surgeon? I know you said knees and shoulders, and you know what kinds of problems?
Well, let's go back to my history a little bit to give you more of a sense of. So I said my internship, I worked with people who were doing state-of-the-art procedures at that time. Then from there, I went on to Stony Brook and did my orthopedic training. I started doing football game coverages in that internship. And I've been at more high school football games, junior high football games than, I mean, who knows how many I've been at. When I finished my orthopedic training, I joined up with Dr. Pat DeRosa in Nassau County, who was doing more. He was one of the first people to do knee and shoulder arthroscopies on Long Island. So I worked with him for a number of years, and then I went on my own. I met Doc Fallett, who was not a surgeon, but he was a sports medicine doctor, pioneer on Long Island, and he introduced me to everyone. I became a team physician for Dowling College for over 25 years. I have two national championship rings in D2, one from soccer, one from lacrosse, and I missed two other national championship rings at Dowling College, in one in girls basketball by one game and volleyball by two games. So
there's not a lot of people that could say they have even one of those rings. So that's a great thing. So
So what happened is, again, sports medicine is what I did and I still do. However, a lot more people got interested. Orthopedic surgeons got interested in doing sports medicine. People who would never ever go to a game or be on a football game on the sidelines suddenly were willing to go. The sports medicine is still a big part of my practice, but I also became interested in the injury area, which is similar the same way. The injuries that we see, sometimes a bit more dramatic.
From what types of things? In other words, what scenarios where people have injured? Obviously, you have car accidents, right?
Well, car accidents are the most. You know, even car accidents where there is not that much of a tremendous impact, the amount of injuries we see, again, these are not life-threatening injuries and stuff, there's concussion stuff. But what happens, I think, in a motor vehicle accident is that people see it coming or respond. So what happens is that they tense their muscles, particularly their arms on a steering wheel, for example. They tense up, and then they get impacted and jolted. And I think the force from both them forcing their muscles to tense, and the impact causes something which we call labrum injuries, which is a little piece of cartilage between the two bones of the shoulder. It's amazing how many times people injure their labrums in car accidents. Also knee injuries, where there's a twist and impact injury, and they tear their cartilage, and they also impact the lining surface of cartilage in their knee, of their kneecap and the thigh bone. That gets injured quite often also, but the shoulders turn out to be a lot more injuries with that than other parts of the body. The wrist is also injured as well. There's a little cartilage in the wrist joint that gets torn, the triangular fiber cartilage. So the predominant thing we do see is those injuries, obviously to neck and back, but I am not a neck and back specialist. I'm an extremity specialist, and I see mostly shoulders and knees.
You know, it's interesting that you talked about that whole concept of, you know, sometimes there's not a lot of damage maybe on a vehicle or whatever, but someone's hurt. And, you know, it's a place where we fight the defense attorneys and the insurance companies, because they kind of use that and they say, well, look, there's not that much damage to it. But, of course, there's oftentimes tremendous forces, right, physical forces just by physics, where you have an acceleration, deceleration. So you're going at a certain speed, vehicle comes to a stop upon contact, and your body moves and obviously causes great stress on those parts of your body that sometimes aren't able to handle it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, another thing I have to say also is that sometimes I've seen patients who have had very severe accidents where cars have, like, turned over a number of times and stuff on the expressway or whatever, and these people come out with not much injury. So you have to say something that the engineering in cars has significantly improved over the years.
That's good. You know, as I always tell everybody, I do not want anybody to get hurt. I don't hope for people to get hurt. I don't hope for my clients to continue to be hurt. I always hope for a great result, and I make sure that my clients are going to good doctors, you know, doctors who are respected, doctors who have, you know, a reputation that they want to get their clients well and their patients well. Dr. Segreto is one of those. I can promise you, if you have a knee injury, a shoulder injury, a wrist injury, greatly would emphasize, go to someone like Dr. Segreto, hopefully him. All right, we'll see you on the other side as we continue on our journey. Welcome back to our program. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from No Fault of Your Own. We have Dr. Frank Segreto here, one of the preeminent orthopedic surgeons. He does specialize, concentrate, he told you, on extremities, which is the shoulder, the knee, and also the wrist. Dr. Segreto, so you said that people who you've treated have been injured as a result of traumas from auto accidents. I assume that you have other areas, construction accidents, I would assume, and trip and falls and things like that too?
Yeah, with the, you know, the entire spectrum of injuries. But right now it's probably it's just more, the most of my work is motor vehicle accidents. In fact, I come to this airport once a month also. I practice in Florida as well. And
oh, really?
I go down to Florida at least once a month. There are offices I work with there where I see extremity patients and treat them down there and operate down there as well. You know, Florida has a very high rate of motor vehicle accidents in Florida for whatever reason. You know, 95 is, you know, I try to stay off 95 in Florida as much as possible. They've just widened it to about six lanes. And,
right.
And so, but, you know, you have people, I mean, it happens to me every time I go on 95. Some guy makes a four-lane drift in front of you to get out of an exit and stuff. I mean, coming like only a few feet away from your car. It happens all the time. There's a lot of motor vehicle accidents. 95 is closed many times, despite the six lanes, because of motor vehicle accidents. In fact, I was speaking to a trauma surgeon in one of the hospitals down there near Boca Raton, and he says every night the hospital has about 13 trauma admissions. Most of them are motor vehicle accidents.
Yeah, that's really something. You know, I've had a home down in Delray Beach for years.
Well,
my grandma lived down there, and so when the children were small, we needed a place that we wouldn't drive the senior citizens crazy in the complex. So we got our own place, and, you know, I've actually been on the roadways where literally I had someone coming the wrong way and just driving on the opposite side of the road, and I just had to pull off to the side. So That is interesting. Didn't realize.
Yeah, that's another issue, too. Some of the older individuals who probably should not be behind the wheel are on the wheel there as well. Sometimes they also go too slow, and that may cause some problems as well.
Right. All of those things, you know. It depends. There's some great elderly drivers, of course, and there are some really good young drivers, but certainly everybody should be capable and competent to do that, because when you get behind the wheel of a car, it's a weapon. Let's just call it what it is, and it could cause great damage. Well, let me ask you this question. When should a person go to see a doctor, you know, or a medical professional if they're in some type of an accident, whether it's a motor vehicle accident, whether it's a trip and fall? You know, what are the signs, you know what, I really should go see an orthopedic?
Well, I deal with this every day. People come in and they say something hurts them, this hurts them. And I always say, now listen, I said, what else? Is there anything else? And I go through the entire body. I go from the head to the toe. How about your knees? Well, I don't really think. No. I said, no. Look, did you feel something different in this body part, your knees? Well, yeah. I said, well, do you know what? You know, we have to consider that, because you don't know if that's going to start hurting you tomorrow, a week from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. We have to make sure that gets covered as well, that we research it, that we get additional studies on that to see if there's any injury involved. But everything has to be checked.
So let me ask you this. Kind of gets to the important question. I've heard this, and you know, that in diagnosing a traumatic injury, you just can't look at just one thing or do one thing. So you can't just do a test. You know, I've seen it with insurance companies where they have a doctor or a radiologist hasn't looked at the patient, hasn't taken a history, and looks at a film and says, oh, it must be degenerative. In other words, it must have happened from something other than trauma. How does a treating doctor like yourself diagnose a patient as to whether or not something is traumatically related?
Well, we deal with that all the time. You know, radiologists, they do their job. They do it great. But they're sitting at a computer screen now. They could be anywhere. They could be anywhere in the world at the time. But they're looking through films and one after the other. And, you know, it's tough to really say that they should notice everything, but they should. And some things that may appear what you think is age-related may not be. Let's face it, there's age-related things that you would see, arthritic changes that you'll see in young individuals. We know that for a fact. So the radiologist has to keep in mind the possibility of trauma causing what he's seeing as well. And it could be that there's an arthritic condition as well, or a degenerative condition. But is there additional damage? Yeah, probably additional damage occurs to a degenerative joint because it's not a normal joint.
That is really interesting. And that's the part that, you know, I've tried over my career to make sure that jurors understand. And the fact of the matter is, if someone has degeneration, it doesn't mean that they can't suffer a traumatic-related injury. In fact, they're more susceptible to it, correct?
Exactly.
You know, and that's the part where, you know, sometimes, you know, you feel like you're going crazy, because it's the same mantra that you hear when they're defending these cases. And what I say is, the reality is, doctors like yourself, when we have you on the stand, you tell us this only way you can evaluate an injury from trauma is you got to get a history. You have to know where the person was at the time, what their life was like before. Were they fine? Did they have a problem before? Did they not have a problem? You have to put your hands on them clinically and then use diagnostic tools of MRIs and x-rays and put it all together in order to make that assessment, right?
Yes, very much so. You know, we always have new assistants that we're training and whatever, and we go through it all the time. We have to educate them as what they have to put down, how they have to be didactic, how they have to answer all the questions, and they have to document everything. Everything has to be properly documented.
Let me ask you this question. Could you explain, we have a few minutes left, and it's been just fantastic. Can you explain the different types of treatment for orthopedic injuries, the modalities, as they call them, the different types of treatment?
Well, there's always, you know, initially an injury that of not too extreme, not too severe. Go home, take some Advil, take some Aleve, apply ice, do some home exercises. It starts with that. We may also, if something becomes more pesty and painful over time, a shoulder, a knee, an elbow, we may offer a cortisone injection with lidocaine. There's a whole bunch of other treatment modalities. We may refer the patient to a pain management for medications. Right now, we are not allowed to give pain medication, narcotics out, unless we're a pain management physician. So I only give pain medication now for post-surgical patients, but we'll refer them to pain management and other specialists. We may refer patients for head trauma to psychologists and neurologists as well. But we have to have everything documented. Everything has to be accounted for and looked into.
So I know there are times, right, where you follow a patient up or even before they have surgery with maybe physical therapy to see if you can strengthen the muscles around the actual injured site to see if you can maybe avoid surgery, correct?
Absolutely. Physical therapy, chiropractic. We work hand in hand with both of those professionals all the time.
When does a person become a surgical candidate?
Usually, after some time at conservative treatment, physical therapy, chiropractic, and even another good test on if someone needs surgery is the cortisone injection with lidocaine. We tell patients, said, you know what, particularly in shoulders, we're going to try this injection in your shoulder. We'll see how it goes. We say it may not work at all. It may work for a day. It may work forever. We don't know. But if the pain does come back, it sort of indicates that the MRIs, as you know, aren't always correct, too. And those labrum tears I told you about, MRIs do not see them that often.
That's really interesting because you get this from insurance companies defending, oh, well, the MRI didn't show it. But I've had situations where when the surgery's done, you see it, right? And that's because you're actually literally looking at it with your eyes. Is that correct?
Every day. I see this every day.
Okay. Well, this has been great to have you on the show, Dr. Segretto. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. If you have any questions with regard to a personal injury matter, please call me, 631-654-4900. On the web, www.myinjuryli.com, or Google me, Ken Auerbach, A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H. I can tell you Dr. Segretto is one of the finest doctors. If you have an orthopedic injury and you really aren't sure what to do with it, call his office. Give him a call. What is your office number, Doc?
631-737-6767.
Okay.
631-737-6767.
We will see you next week. We really enjoyed the show. Thank you very much.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.